At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Texans on Tap, episode 27. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. You can find them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975. Jack Brame is our producer. Okay, guys, let's dig in. Now, I have to be fully transparent here. I was mildly annoyed that the Titans were wearing Oilers throwbacks. I thought it was pretty tacky when Tennessee ordered the cease and desist for U of H for their Oilers-inspired uniforms. But guys, when I saw Mike Vrabel come out sporting that cosplay Bum Phillips hat, that kind of sent me, and I kind of had bad thoughts. I will say this, just like in professional wrestling, WWE, I can respect when a guy lives his gimmick, and the fake Oilers did just that. They lived their gimmick. And as Brian McTaggart pointed out on X, the delicious cherry on top of that revenge sundae served on Sunday was the winning quarterback being from U of H. So I guess that's as good as any place to start here, because last week, John and Lance actually did a video on the Sports Map Texans channel tossing around the idea of maybe Case Keenum gives Houston their best chance of winning. We didn't really think that would be the case. We thought they would go with Davis Mills because he's always been their backup quarterback this season. Case indeed gets the start. What did you guys think of that decision? And then how did you like his response to that rocky start from the first half?
Boy, sports happens, exhibit number infinity. 1 week removed from the Texans going up against a sorry Jets team and saying, we'll out-sorry you. We'll get to the Texans defense the second half of that game versus what happened in Nashville. But a kick in the head to Davis Mills. Fundamental reason they go with Case Keenum, experience. None of it, of course, recent. Davis Mills had been a starter for a year. Case Keenum hadn't really played in 2 years. But Case Keenum, the guy deemed less likely to blow the game, to make the really stupid mistake that puts you way behind the eight ball. And what does Case Keenum do? Throw an interception that would have been right there with the worst of Matt Schaub's greatest hits as his career melted down with the Texans. That was just a brutal, brutal pick six. To me, it's a matter of he who laughs last, and it was quite the guffaw for Keenum and the Texans with him. But he didn't really have a very good game. I mean, they netted 9 offensive points offensively through regulation. Right? They scored 16. You gave up 7. So that's 9 points that your offense really should be credited for. And then Singletary gets loose, makes the huge play to get them down to a field goal range. And of course, Kami Fairbairn with one of the great kicker returns of all time. So Keenum was passable because of the end result. Had they lost in overtime, Keenum would have been considered one of the foremost culprits of blame. But what a great story for Keenum at 35. If Stroud is back and the Texans go on, however the season plays out, and that's one last blaze of glory in Case Keenum's NFL career, under the circumstances, just fantastic theater. I will add the Vrabel hat didn't bother me at all. I think that was a genuine homage from Vrabel to Bum Phillips and the whole Oiler thing, as opposed to jabbing a stick in the eye. Organizationally, I thought petty, but you know, the old comedian Jerry Seinfeld, when sports, we root for laundry. I didn't really think it was worth getting absolutely up in arms that they wore the Columbia blue, especially the way it played out, right? If you're a Texans fan or a bitter over all this, old Oilers fan, how much more fun was it to win this way than if they just won their Nashville uniforms?
Good point, Charlie. It felt a little better watching that win. A little comeuppance coming to them there. So I certainly enjoyed it. The Keenum thing over Davis Mills, I mean, Brandon and I were talking about it privately all week. I was like, man, go with Keenum. Like, we know what Davis Mills is. We got a good look at that last year. And he's a young guy. Maybe he gets better, but I just don't see it in him. And this was a must-win game. I heard people like, oh, you should play Davis Mills because maybe you'll get a draft pick for him and he plays good. And I'm like, that's not the goal of this week. This week's to try and steal a win, get CJ Stroud back healthy and make a run at the playoffs. And that's exactly what they did. I thought it was smart that they waited until the end of the week to announce it so that, you know, Tennessee's doing their preparations for Davis Mills. And then all of a sudden, it's not Mills. I know one guy's not Joe Montana and the other guy's Lamar Jackson. I'm sure the game plan was in the same ballpark, but nothing wrong with a little bit of gamesmanship there. It paid off. I mean, the score would have looked a little different, too. You don't get that holding call on Mechie when Singletary busted off that touchdown run that would have sealed the game in overtime. So they left a few points on the board. But overall, look what happens when you give Devin Singletary the ball. We did a video about that just a week or two. They are a different team when he is your running back. And they're a very different team when you throw him the football. If you don't have Nico, if you don't have Tank, toss a little check down to Singletary. You saw Breece Hall just rip the Texans apart on little check downs like that last week. I've been saying for weeks, where is that in the Texans offense? You see McCaffrey do it all the time for the Niners. Way to go, D'Amico. Way to go, offense. Bobby Slowick. Great win.
Way to go, us. Right? We've been wisely griping about this for weeks, but I don't think we were clamoring for a 26-1 rushing attempts ratio of Singletary to Pierce. And as a season-long thing, pretty much no back, other than the guy formerly known as Derrick Henry, is going to hold up to 26 carries per week. But hey, you're down the home stretch right now. Singletary is the horse. I doubt it'll be 26-1 against the Browns, but it's a starter and a backup. That's it. No job share, no one complimenting the other. Singletary was a sensation.
Let's talk about that because, Josh, to your point, speaking of points left on the board, that missed PAT by Tennessee loomed large there at the end of regulation. Yeah. But what was the secret to Singletary's success? 26 carries for 121 yards. The run game has been an albatross all season. What did you see? What was he able to do on Sunday that made the results so much different just from a game earlier?
I just think it's fundamentally what he's shown all season above and beyond what Damian Pierce has shown. He has burst. He has quick hiccup, first step moves, plant and go. You typically like having a running back isolated on an inside linebacker, but just running away across the field for the huge gainer in overtime. And, you know, we can't specifically quantify. We can't assume if they just keep feeding him the ball against the Jets or any of the other games where the running game was for hunger that he'd been racking up 22 carries and 100 yards per game. But he's done it now three times where he's been the heavy duty back. You know, he's not the classic back a la Henry or in the spirit of Oiler Blue, go all the way back to Earl Campbell. Your traditional bell cow backs, they wear down the defense as the game goes on. That's not Devin Singletary. We just know when he's been the full-time guy in games this season, he's been phenomenally productive, whatever the makeup of the offensive line week to week.
I think his secret to success is he actually lifts his head up and opens his eyes when he's running and trying not to just run into his linemen and just look for contact. I think that's a big part of it for me. I'm kidding, of course, but kind of not. You saw Ogunbowale out-touch Pierce in this game, too. And on that pick six, it looks like Ogunbowale and Keenum weren't on the same page. And that might have what kind of led to that. So that's why I've been saying Singletary's been in there. He's been doing a great job. Two out of the three games without Pierce earlier in the season, he went over 100 yards. So sometimes it's best just not to overthink it. This guy's playing well. Keep giving him the football. And they said it earlier in the year, D'Amico and Slowick, when they said, no, there are some lanes open. Our guys just aren't hitting them. Well, you play Pierce less, you play Singletary more, and you're starting to see the run game improve.
Well, I know at the end of overtime, that big pass to Singletary, I know Josh was, I could hear him from my house screaming, I told you so the entire time, because Josh has been the biggest evangelist for making Devin Singletary a part of the pass game as well. But guys, on this game, we've buried the headline because really the defense was what really put their stamp on this game. No Anderson, no Cashman, but 7 sacks, 1 interception, and hold the Titans to 66 total yards on the ground. They exercised their Derrick Henry demon in a big way, holding him to just 9 yards over 16 carries. My only rhetorical question would be, where was this defense against the Jets? But my actual question is, how much of the success after that ugly first half was just guys winning their individual battles? And how much was D'Amico and his coaching staff really putting their stamp on this game?
I start with Collins and Rankins inside. I thought they just raised holy hell the whole game in the interior. And, you know, Henry has some speed, but he's not a guy that you're running sweeps with typically. So control the line of scrimmage, football axiom 101. And it's just, it's part of what lures us in, right? None of us know, and certainly not the touts who, I've hit 87% of my parlays, get rich with me. They're all blowhards, if not straight up shysters, right? Monday night, the Titans take down Miami. a bona fide Super Bowl contender right now with the inside track to the number one seed in the AFC, and the Left 4 Dead Titans go into Miami and win. The Texans, the second half against the pitiful Zach Wilson Jets, who went immediately back to being the Zach Wilson Jets as soon as the Texans were out of New Jersey. And so the Texans off that second half where, are you kidding me? And yeah, Tennessee's not a world beater, but just off the most recent performances for each of the two teams, or specifically the two units, the Titans O and the Texans D, that was a wowzer. DeAndre Hopkins is still on the Titans, isn't he? Barely noticeable in that game. So I'm going to chalk it up in part to stuff happens, right? The Texans do not have an elite defense, but they damn sure look like it against the Titans.
Yeah, for me, it was Jonathan Gernard. He's now at 12 and a half sacks on the season. And it's when he made his huge plays. And then let's give credit to DeMeco. Hopkins had that 42-yard catch, which was a big play. DeMeco challenged it, and it got overturned. The ball was on the ground. Next play, Gernard gets the sack. They have to punt. That was huge. And then later in the game, remember when Gernard, he hit Levis's arm, and they lost 19 yards where the ball went squirting off to the right side and went out of bounds. Then they had to settle for a field goal after that play. So Gernard, when it really mattered, he came up with some big plays. And Singletary and Nelson, I thought, were great on Hopkins, to Charlie's point. And D-Hop had a huge game the week before, so it's not like he's been a slouch this year. The Texans, they just did a really good job against him.
Whatever the reason was, the success was there on the field. There's a lot of candidates here, but who is your player of the game, Charlie?
You know, it's funny, and there's a guy or two you certainly could go with on the defensive side of the ball, and I feel like I should go with a guy on the defensive side of the ball, which absolutely outplayed the Texans' offense for the game. In the end, for me, it's a two-horse race. I'm going to go with Kaimi Fairbairn to hit 53 and 54-yarders. The game-winning kick as time expires in overtime. And, oh, by the way, your first game in 5-6 weeks. So it took a while for that leg to get right, but it did just in the nick of time, because who thinks Matt Amendola hits both of those, or maybe even one of them? And the Texans, I think in the end, they would have replaced Amendola with someone, or should have. But Fairbairn back with a bang and a cool hand Luke response to the game-winning kick.
Yeah, I'll go offense, Singletary. I'll just keep it simple. He had a hell of a game. You don't win that game without Devin Singletary. He was clutch when it mattered. He took a pounding, and he looked quick. He had a hell of a game. Way to go, Devin.
I'll go with Dalton Schultz for the only pass of the day. I think that, or I guess maybe actually, you know what? It was one of two passes of the day that was an offensive interception, because it should have been in the defender's hands and ended up, Dalton was able to wrestle that ball away and get them into position to score. So as Charlie alluded to, that would have been an ugly, ugly interception and way to end the day for Case Keenum. And we wouldn't, the tone of this podcast would be completely different. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We're doing an early look at Browns Texans in tomorrow's episode, and as always, you can listen to that early on podcast, so give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening, and go Texans.